The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
Sandy, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. All good, thank you.
Yeah, pretty happy midweek again.
Yeah, I'm not complaining when you call me up when Manchester United are top of the league after Christmas for the first time since 2013. It was a tough win at Burnley. It was always going to be like that. I spoke to people within Manchester United yesterday and they said how Burnley's team reflects the personality of the manager, Sean Dyche. They've been on a very good run. They've not been conceding goals. They've pulled themselves away from the bottom of the table. They're under new ownership. There's a confidence about the club. So for Manchester United to go there and get a 1-0 victory with that goal from Paul Pogba, who was the best player on the pitch, was a huge result. United are top of the table. Fans are excited, but I don't think anybody's getting carried away. The league's not even at its halfway stage yet. And I said last week, I still think that Liverpool and Manchester City have got superior squads and would be favourites. And well, the bookmakers are saying that anyway, but there's no complaints from United fans to being the position that the team are in, especially after such a poor start to the season.
Let's talk a little bit about what needs to improve for Manchester United for them to be consistent over the rest of this season. Because obviously, you know, they can sign new players in the summer and it'll be a different team that takes the field next year. And we don't know what's going to happen. But this group now, let's assume that there's no incomings for the rest of January. What needs to continue to get better for them to be able to consistently mount a challenge over the next 3-4 months?
Well, if we would have spoke last week, I would have said that the small margins which Ole Gunnar Solskjaer always refers to. And last week against Manchester City, I think it was apparent that they had the edge. They had the best defender on the pitch in Ruben Dias. They had the best midfielder on the pitch in Fernandinho. So they're your small margins. And Manchester United's central defence at times has caused concern among the fans. Lindelof's a good player. Harry Maguire's a very good player. Sometimes even that's not good enough if you're going to be one of the best team. You've got to be better than very good. You've got to be great. Virgil van Dijk is a great defender. But what we've seen in the last few games is Eric Bailly play 4 games, play very well in all of them, looks more comfortable alongside Harry Maguire. Bailly's problem has been he's often made rash decisions and mistakes in matches and he's been injury prone. He could become a really important player. I first saw him play for Espanyol's B team and he stood out a mile as he did in the first team, as he did at Villarreal, and then Manchester United snapped him up. So if him and Maguire were to be the defensive partnership from now on, alongside Luke Shaw on the left, who's doing really well, and David De Gea's fine behind him in goal, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, he's an issue at right back. One who Burnley targeted from the start of the game last night with high diagonal balls. So that's your defence. Up front, there's been times where I've said Manchester United need a centre-forward, a classic centre-forward. And when that team started last night with a very attacking formation with Cavani at the top, I think a lot of fans welcomed that, but then it didn't turn out to be the game that maybe they expected because Burnley are such a physically strong side. I think they need more consistency. Having Paul Pogba back and playing well is a big plus. The consistency is back. You're not seeing the team losing like they were only 2 months ago. And it's only 2 months ago that a huge number of Manchester United fans wanted the manager sacked. Maybe they should be a little bit more patient as well. Because I don't think United will win the league this year. But just imagine if they did. And that some people who call themselves Manchester United fans are calling for the manager to be sacked. And I think if you're a supporter, you get behind the team. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is doing a good job. He's not won anything yet. Nobody's getting carried away. But he's doing a good job and should be given the time and support to continue doing so. He'll bring more players in. It's not likely in January, but he'll do it in the summer. And I think his recruitment so far has been good. So I don't see why it makes sense to sack him like people thought they should after the defeat in Istanbul, like they thought he should. Even last week, there was criticism. United have lost a game. They're going to lose more games. There's going to be loads of bumps along the way. That's what it's called supporting any football team in the world.
I think it was really interesting, just to labour the point a moment on Bailly, that he didn't play at the City game, but did play in this game. And you could argue that this game is a much bigger game ultimately because it's their first opportunity, as you said, to return to the top of the table. And the pressure was there. And when he needed that defence against Burnley, in a game that was going to have an impact on the league placing, he went with it. And I would expect that Bailly holds his place for the weekend, which is obviously the biggest game of the season so far against Liverpool.
And that's the biggest change from the team of a couple of months ago, if that does happen. I don't think fans would have a problem if it does happen. He's so fast that he compliments Maguire, and he made some key blocks, and he's got himself into a good position here, because there's been several times where he or the people around him thought the manager doesn't fancy me. And that might be, that's Mourinho, rather the man who brought him in, rather than Ole Gunnar. But even under Ole Gunnar, there's been times where he's barely featured. But then he comes in, and Chelsea away in last February, he was one of the best players on the pitch in a 3-5-2 formation. So he has got the talent. It's what Espanyol and Villarreal saw and Manchester United saw. Villarreal bought him. He played 5 or 6 games in Espanyol's first team. Straight away, they knew this guy can be a top player. He just got to do it consistently without injury in the Premier League. Go to somewhere like Anfield and have a good game. But he's absolutely got it in him. And Luke Shaw should mention him more. I think he's become a really important player for Manchester United. And he got clattered a few times last night, and he got booked as well. Even though he won the ball, the follow-through was pretty strong. And I think if he can also avoid injury, because he's been afflicted by too many, then he can continue to be important. And I think the arrival of Alex Telles has pushed him on. And that's what Ole Gunnar ultimately wants. He wants two players for every position, providing competition and cover. And he hasn't got that yet, but he's working towards that.
Andy, there has been some sense that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has been tinkering quite a bit with his midfield, not knowing who his best midfield partnership is or his best midfield three. Is there just a sense now that he's stumbled upon which midfielders to play in which games, where the type of player that Nemanja Matic is was the perfect type of player suited to playing at Turf Moor last night, for example?
Yeah, I thought Matic in front of the defence was very stable, and he allowed Paul Pogba to move forward more and become a more dominant player as the game went on. Paul Pogba in the second half was by a distance the best player on the pitch. And that's encouraging, because most United fans would have happily waved him away, and with good reason, 6 weeks ago, after his agent came out and said what he did. But Pogba, I won't just say knuckled down, he's always knuckled down, but he's just playing much, much better. Matic refuses to give the ball away. Fred and McTominay have had very good games, and he's got to use all the players in his squad. There's so many games, he cannot play the same 11, even with no injuries, week in, week out. He's more reliant on some players. Bruno, because he's the best player. It's as simple as that. But with midfield, he does have more options there. And at times, it can confuse fans. Donny van de Beek isn't playing as much as fans expected him to. But right from the start of the season, when I spoke to people at the club, and I was under the impression he's been brought as a squad player. But that's not what fans want to hear when you get a shiny new player from Ajax. They think that he's going to come in and be one of the best players in the midfield and in the Premier League. But look at a few other players. Matthijs de Ligt, when he went to Juventus from Ajax, they've been playing that system in Holland so much that they can't just click into a new system straight away. It does take time. And I think that Van der Beek, he did okay on Saturday against Watford, but you've got to do better than okay to get into that midfield. But it's good to have competition there, because only a year ago, you had Andres Pereira, great lad, liked by the manager, but not a top-class midfielder at Manchester United, playing over 41 matches. Well, over 40 rather than 41. So there's been improvements. More are needed. Matic is in the final chapter of his career, but he's got experience as a league winner. And there's too little of that within the current Manchester United squad.
I think the balance of the midfield is going to be very interesting for the game against Liverpool. I would be very surprised if it didn't go back to both Fred and McTominay, given the Everton energy levels they have, which means that Martial or somebody, maybe Cavani drops out and Martial plays, but you can't have Pogba, Bruno, and the two runners, which I expect he will have for the game at Anfield.
Yeah, I'd expect that midfield to be, as you said it, as well, unless a surprise is thrown in there. He's picking the team to suit United's strengths, but also to counter the threat of the opponents. And Liverpool are the league champions. They're the best team. And it's almost a year since United lost an away game, and that was at Liverpool. If United can avoid defeat at Anfield on Sunday and go over a year unbeaten away in the Premier League, that's a really good achievement, that. And that's just another building block on the way towards what fans hope will be a brighter future with Manchester United back at the top again. Because they've been so far off the top that this is the first title race that the team have been involved in since Sir Alex Ferguson stepped down 8 seasons ago. So Mourinho got 81 points in 17-18. And that's a really good achievement, by the way. That you don't get any trophies for that, but it is overlooked. But this current United team do not look like they're on target for 81 points this season. That shows how good Jose Mourinho's points total was then. But they were never in a race because Manchester City had disappeared over the hill within 5 or 6 weeks of the season starting. This season, all the teams are dropping more points. And United, who started terribly, have recovered and are now top of the league. And that absolutely delights fans.
Andy, you mentioned the fans there. You mentioned them a few moments ago, the people who wanted Solskjaer out. Do you think that they're proven wrong now? Or at what point do you think that they will be proven incorrect to want Solskjaer out the door?
I think the super clubs will always attract a type of fan who are never happy. I see parallels with Barcelona. And people who've just been attracted to continual winning, they'll never be happy. They just project the frustrations in their life onto the football team where they demand absolute excellence. And I remember a game clearly at Swansea away in 12-13 when the online, a lot of online United fans were fuming with anger because Manchester United had the audacity not to win an away game at Swansea. We were a good team. It was a draw. And I thought from that point, you're not dealing with rational people here. Now, every single fan is entitled to their opinion. And if they wanted Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to be sacked 1 or 2 or 3 months ago, they're entitled to that opinion. I'm entitled to mine. I don't have to agree with it. I think he's been doing a good job and he needs support. And there are no quick fixes. It's a long-term project and there's going to be bumps. There has been, and there will be more, but he's doing a decent job. I know, and I've written about what's going on behind the scenes there. And not all of it will come good. Not every youth player who excites will break into the first team, but he's doing a decent job. In the face of very well-organised opponents, Liverpool have got their act together. After messing up in a lot of the 90s and noughties, Liverpool commercially are far more astute. They've redeveloped Anfield really intelligently and will continue to do so. And I think United should develop Old Trafford more, although now's not the time to be talking about that when you can't even get fans in. City and Chelsea have obviously got models where they've got access to huge amounts of money. So it's really tough. I don't think you're going to see, while that stays as it is, a team as dominant as United were in the 90s and noughties. I just don't think it's going to happen. And I think you're seeing that this year, throwing the external factors like no fans, and you're seeing a lot of freak results. But Manchester United are coming out better than most with those results. But the season's still not at its halfway point. And if United finish second, third, fourth, in answer to your question, you're going to get people going, Ollie's not the man for me, he's got to be sacked. And then what they do is, I've got to hold my hands up. And that's fine. But what isn't fine is some of the pernicious abuse that he's flung. And then for people 6 weeks later to say, got to admit I was wrong there. And I think, wait a minute, what you said was absolutely vicious. And you just think that you can say that and get away with it. And there's no comeback whatsoever. And social media allows that. If I did that in my job, I'd be sacked. But social media allows it. It allows for that abuse. And I think that some of the abuse towards Solskjaer has been way, way over the top. Criticising by all means when he gets things wrong. and when results are bad. But some of it has been way over the top.
It's interesting as well, Andy, because of the fact that we're basing all fans' reactions to things on social media now. So the keyboard warriors are essentially the only form of fan that you're referencing there, because they're not in Old Trafford. You're not actually seeing if the team are getting booed at their lowest moment. So is that, do you think, actually hammering home maybe the negativity a little bit too much that has existed around Solskjaer?
It absolutely is, because normally the mood is set at the game and journalists will write after what they see at the game. So if the Stretford end booed the team off the pitch, that is far more significant than a load of anonymous accounts abusing the team, because that's become the norm, win or lose. But at the match, that is the reality. And often social media, it doesn't reflect reality. At the match, I think the fans are far more supportive than you might see online. And there's different reasons for that. Well, one, you can't hide, although there can be power in a crowd, but you just stand up 10 metres away from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and call him some of the things that you see online. Well, you'd be arrested. You'd be taken out the ground. But I do think that it's a different type of atmosphere at the matches. And when that's taken away because there's no fans there, the mood now gets set more online. And it does exaggerate the negative and the positive. And when the fans come back, I don't think this season you would have seen Solskjaer being called to be sacked inside the ground. I think what you would have seen during that 6-1 defeat against Tottenham, during that 0-0 against Chelsea, is the fans urging the team on and shouting. And you wouldn't have seen games like we saw. Of course, Tottenham would have clearly won still, but the fans wouldn't have accepted, especially against Chelsea and Arsenal, that pedestrian football which was played by Manchester United. And you can't count against the power of 70,000 people roaring you forward. It would have been different. Maybe even the Manchester derby last month, which was 0-0. I think that a lot of fans would have been frustrated that it was too slow. It wasn't exciting. Football should be exciting. Football should be entertaining. And while Manchester United are not entertaining in every single match, they are definitely on the right track. And there's been some really good moments this season. Just what a shame that the fans can't be inside the stadium to see Rashford's last minute winner against Wolves. There's been so many good moments. And the FA Cup draw, United against Liverpool, that would have been brilliant with fans in. But it's not to be. And for reasons we all know too well, which is pretty sad, but it's probably the sensible thing to do at the moment.
I'm completely out of time here, Andy, but one last quick question. Who would you start against Liverpool up front? Does Cavani automatically now start because you need to give him game time and he is your focal point in your centre forward and he's got that killer instinct and Martial needs to maybe up his game a bit? Is that what you would think?
Well, Cavani's got that killer instinct, but he's yet to score in a game he started in the league. So it's not quite the killer instinct that you need when you go to Liverpool away, because you need goals from him. Martial is still finding his range. I would have expected him to start against Liverpool. He was limping a little bit last night. I don't know how that plays out. I suspect that Greenwood would lose out as he goes for the more experience of Rashford. It's a tough one. It's the toughest selection problem, I think, Ole Gunnar's got. But it's a nice one because Liverpool won't know what's coming. And when United play with Cavani, they play a completely different way than without him. I thought it was a good signing. I think when he gets a run of games, he's come over his ban now, he could be a really important player. If Cavani wants to score the winner in front of the cop, like his old friend Diego Forlan did, scoring at Anfield, then he'll become an even bigger hero.
Andy, good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us. Cheers.
Thank you.
Andy Mitten has given us his thoughts there this morning. Some of your thoughts. The bloke with the cash is 100% a Scouser. Not actually true. Not that funny, Owen.
But it's just the way they attach your appearance now to the moustache. It's taken you over. It's preceded you.
All right. So I don't care. That's... that midfield was perfect versus Burnley. What are you talking about? Burnley conceded 3 in last 8 games at Turf Moor. My point was that it looks imbalanced and, you know, it's not going to be their midfield for the big games. also was an opportunity for Burnley to get at them and create a few chances, which they managed to do. Pogba has to do it for the rest of the season. A month of steady building. Now time to kick on, says Trevor Costello. And Brandon says, glad the Man United fans are still around. They were pretty quiet 2 months ago. That's the opposite of the you're not singing anymore. It's the you are singing now, but you weren't 2 months ago chant. Lesser heard around these parts. And then a question on our Instagram we asked, can Manchester United actually win the league? No chance, says Owen. Big few weeks, says Ronan. I don't see why not. They're the informed team. Leicester won the league. Like, if Man United win the league this season, it's not them back forever. It's like a Leicester-style smash and grab. And I'm sure the club would take the trophy and all the stuff that comes with it, right?
Except it will be sustainable and it will be bigger than Leicester in terms of what happens next season, because all of a sudden you're attracting players who are joining the Premier League champions. And that's a big deal. Like, Leicester didn't have that sort of capital to... And also, they lost their players. Like, Leicester won the league and they proceeded to lose their players. Manchester United will gain players if they win the league.
The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.